man. Yeah. We're going to continue our series called what? Sweet Emotions. We have listened and sang along to that song for 4 or 5 weeks, and it's been awesome. It's been awesome. So if you've missed any of these Sweet Emotion series, man, where have you been? Like, we've been having a great time together. I'm just kidding. If you've missed some of these or you want to get caught up, you can go to alckokomo.com, listen to the messages online, or you can go out and order the series right outside these doors, and we'll get you hooked up either way. So we're going to continue and actually end our series on Sweet Emotions today. And you know that if you've been here, you know that this has been our theme verse. 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in what? All things, and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Yeah. And we've gotten into that God's plan and God's best is that you prosper in all things. All things. That's what your Bible says. And even be in health. God's best for you is to walk in a place of health. But the qualification for that is your soul has to prosper. And a lot of times in church, man, you know, we come in and we talk about how, you know, our flesh, you know, we need to stay away from this or don't do this or make sure, you know, you're staying away from that. Or we'll talk about, you know, you need to read your Bible and you need to believe God and pray and worship. But we never talk about our soul. We never talk about our soul. And if you've been here, man, you know that your soul is made up of three parts, right? What are they? Your mind, your will, and your what? Emotions. Yeah. And we've gotten into the past weeks of what does it mean to have a Christ-like mind? You know, what does it mean to have healthy thoughts? We've talked about things like there are two root emotions we learned about. There's fear, and what was the other one? Love. Fear and love. And every emotion that you have can be traced back to one of those two, fear or love. We've talked about how God designed and created you such in a wonderful way that you were designed to have healthy thoughts. And that when you have healthy thoughts, your body functions at its best. But when you choose not to have healthy thoughts, you have toxic thoughts, your body responds to that. And it doesn't do all that God's called it to do. Your brain shuts down part of it a little bit and your circulation slows down. And just some things that your thought life absolutely matters in your life, for sure. We've talked about how you combine a thought with an emotion and how it sends you in a direction. We always knew that we had thoughts, but we never knew that if you combine a thought and an emotion together, that it sends you in a direction. So we've been in the process of figuring out how to prosper our soul, how to prosper our soul. And I don't know if you've had a week like I've had, but I've had lots of opportunity this week to have some emotions and some feelings, right? You know? And you have too. You have too, because there was one evening that you spent this week and you had emotions all the way from crying upset to overjoyed and rejoicing, right? And it had something to do with this. Come on now. Yeah. How many of you guys watched that game and are a Cubs fan? Man, absolutely. And I get to raise my hand because I'm a bandwagon Cubs fan. And I'll own that. I'll own that, man. I grew up in Georgia. I was born and raised there. And the team down there, of course, is the Atlanta Braves. But if you follow baseball at all, you know that the Atlanta Braves this year were the worst team in baseball. Like, you and I could have played for them. So I had to pick a different team. So I got to be around the World Series time, man. I was all in for the Cubs. We watched the games and we cheered. And if you watched that game, you know that game went from yes to oh no to yes to oh no to what is going on? We're playing extra innings, and now there's a rain delay? Like, what are we doing? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the Cubs are world champions, man, which is way long overdue, and we're excited and happy for them. But if you watch that game, you know that you went through all kinds of thoughts and feelings and emotions just in the midst of that game. And we've talked about in the past weeks of, man, how do we handle all of that stuff? How do we handle all of that stuff for sure? And Pastor Charlie last week, he left you with this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by what? Not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. And we got into last week of what does it mean to walk by faith? And if you know Pastor Charlie, he says it every week, that he's not really done. He just ran out of time last week, all right? So my goal today is to pick the ball up and we're going to run it into the end zone, okay? All right? So what does it mean to walk by faith? Well, we talked about three different areas. We talked about number one, being filled and recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's how you walk by faith. Number two is the idea of binding and loosing. The idea of the Bible says that you can have certain things and you can agree that you can have those. You can loose healing over your life. You can loose love over your life. You can bind depression, that kind of idea. And then the last thing we talked about of how to walk by faith was to meditate on God's word. So that was where we left off last week. So my question for you today, if this is the goal, is to walk by faith, not by sight, is how do you know if you're walking by faith? How do you know if you're walking by faith? What does it produce? Like, how can you tell if you're walking by faith, not by sight? Well, man, I'm so glad that you asked, because I've got an answer for you, all right? And it's tied up into this word right here. Peace. Peace, yeah. Peace, an internal rest or a settling. Now, it really doesn't have anything to do with two fingers up in the air, you know? That's what we would say, that's peace. Yeah, I hear you. But a lot of times, outside of internal rest and settling, we would say peace is, you know, a quiet house. Or peace is, you know, putting your favorite song on and listening to your favorite song. Man, that's peaceful. Or peace is, you know, working hard, getting done at the end of the day, and being able to just eat supper and watch the Cubs. You know, that's peaceful. Or a lot of times we view life like this, you know? Like work, home life, all that stuff is crazy and stressful. And so to find peace, we do what? We go on vacation. How many of you guys been on vacation? Come on. You know, and that's the idea behind it, is to get rid of the stress of life, to just leave it all. We're going to take off a week from work, and we're going to go and find peace in the mountains, you know, or go and on vacation to, you know, a different city and just enjoy. So the idea is that you pack everybody up in the van, you know, you get yourself ready, and you head out on your trip. Well, the problem is, and if you have a family like mine, and I'm sure that we're close, probably 5 minutes into the trip, somebody's got to pee, you know? And then a little bit later, it's somebody touched me, or they're looking at me funny, or, you know, I'm hungry, or when are we going to be there? And we haven't left the city, you know? Like, we have some problems. So now all of a sudden, vacation is not peaceful anymore. It's not peaceful. We were after peace, but now we've abandoned peace because we can't agree on where we're going to eat, where we're going to stay, what kid has to do this, what's going on over here. We would rather just come home. I'll just come home and go back to work. That's peaceful now, you know? Peace in our lives sometimes, man, can be, we chase all kinds of things to try to find peace. But the peace that I'm talking about this morning has to do with an internal rest, a settling. It's something that you don't have to chase. It's something that's in on the inside of you that you can choose. And I'll tell you more about that as we go along. So the first thing you need to do to know about peace and to pursue peace is you have to do this. You have to look up. Where in the world does peace come from? Does it come from going on a vacation? Does it come from, you know, getting everybody to the house and it being quiet? Does it come from, maybe peace for you is just going to work, you know? Maybe work is peaceful. Well, let me tell you, it says in John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Man, I can tell you this morning that 100% peace comes from God. And more than that, it comes from God, but it's attached to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives deep down on the inside of you. Because we know this in Galatians, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what?
Peace." Peace.
Yeah. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of those fruit live on the inside of you. You don't have to pursue peace. Peace is in you already. It's deep down on the inside of you because peace comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. It says in Isaiah 26:12, it says, "Lord, you will establish peace for us." Who establishes it? The Lord does. "For you have also done all our works in us." God establishes peace inside your heart. You don't have to chase it. You don't have to go pursue it. God put it there for sure. And so when you know that peace comes from God, the next thing you need to know is that you have to look in. You look up and then you look in. Because it says in Colossians, look at this verse, check this out. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God, we know that peace comes from God, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We can choose to have the peace of God rule in our hearts. Man, and that is an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. It lives inside of you. Peace lives inside of you. And you can choose to have it rule inside your heart. Peace also, the Bible talks about in Philippians, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, there's a couple cool things in this verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Sometimes peace doesn't make sense. Sometimes peace, it passes what you can grab a hold of and what you understand. Sometimes peace, and I'll explain it more later, but you react a certain way when you have peace inside you that passes all understanding. Because you should react another way, but you choose peace instead. And then it also says that peace will guard your hearts. Now, you go back to the Cubs game, and you think about one of the most important positions, one of the most important people on that baseball field when the Cubs won the World Series was the umpire behind the home plate, right? If you've played baseball, you know that home plate umpire, man, he really dictates the game. If he has a big strike zone, it'll be a quick game. If it's real tight and he's real angry and agitated and you can't talk to him, you know, it'll be a long game and you may get thrown out. And if you've been to a baseball game before, you know that the umpire, man, no matter how much you yell at him or call him whatever or raise a fuss, he never, never changes his mind. Yeah. So peace, the Bible says, will guard our hearts. It's just like an umpire that calls balls and strikes. When you live in a way of peace, then when decisions come and things come at you and thoughts come and emotions and feelings, you have a choice to decide whether to call that out or to call it safe. So whether you let it stay and grow inside your heart or to send it away, to say, you know what, we're not going there. It's just like an umpire. It'll call balls and strikes for you. Yeah. So then you need to also, the iPad went down. Pastor Charlie would be proud. Come on now. That's awesome. It's actually done that in every service. That's weird. Hang on, I'm almost back. Yeah, right here. So you need to look up, you need to look in, and then you need to look out. Look out. A lot of times in our society, man, when you look out and you look for peace, you see things like people not being able to pay their bills. You see people that are hungry. You see people that have just crazy ideas about the world. You see people that, just turn on the news, man. That'll solve it for you. You see people that are just, peace is nowhere to be found. Peace is nowhere to be found. When you look out and you see that stuff. Yeah. We usually see fear and worry and doubt and confusion. But I'm telling you that you absolutely have a choice. Have a choice. So maybe some days you wake out of bed, you know, you turn the alarm clock off and you start your day kind of like this. Maybe with one of these, right? So you start your day where, man, life, you just got to grit your teeth and go through it. I don't know what the proper emoji is for this, but I'm going to pretend like it's gritting your teeth, all right? That's a jacked up smile. I don't know. Life is hard, man. You know, there's not enough money to pay all the bills. Sometimes we can't eat the way that we want to eat, you know. We're in danger of losing our home, or job is tough, man. They're talking about laying people off. Or you just have to grit your teeth. Hopefully you make it through the day, and then tomorrow is a new day. And hopefully tomorrow is better. But there's no peace in it. There's just you buckle down and you put your head down and you just plow through, and whatever comes and happens, man, it just happens and hopefully it works out. Or maybe that's not you. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you have a day that you wake up and you're like this. Maybe you have a day where just things are crazy. The kids are crazy. Work is crazy. The lady at the grocery store is crazy, you know? Everybody is just acting nutty around you, and things are just wild and off the chart, man. off the chart. Maybe there's Sister Twister and Brother El Nino in your life, and they just jack your world up all the time and make it crazy. People bring you their problems, and you get sucked into what's going on with them, and maybe your world is like this. Maybe it's like this, where tongue's out, you got an eye closed, and boy, hang on. Hopefully you survive through the day to make it to tomorrow. You know, but life is crazy, but you can't do anything about it. Or maybe that's not you. Maybe your day ends up, you know, just being like this. Now, as tastefully as I can say this, all right? Maybe you wake up, you know, and you just feel poopy. And maybe because you feel poopy, you know, and we've all been there, you laugh because you know it's true. Maybe because you wake up and you feel poopy, you know, your spouse will come and say something to you, or the first person that interacts with you before you've had your coffee, you know, you just decide, you know what, and I'm going to poop on them. And then you go to work, and a coworker's short with you, and you're like, you know what? I'm pooping on you too. You poop on your coworker. Your kids come home from school, and you poop on your kids. And you go to the grocery store, and that lady's short with you, and you poop on her too. And you get home by the end of the day, and you've pooped on all kinds of things and people, and you decide, you know what? I hope that tomorrow is a better day, because today has been really crappy. That was on purpose. Oh, yeah. Maybe you've had a day like this. Maybe you have days like this where you're like, you know what, Tov? All I can choose is poop, man. But at least it's happy. You know? Or maybe all I can choose is to grit my teeth and try to make it through the day. Or maybe all I can choose is my life is chaotic. And there are people around me that are chaotic. And we just live in chaos. And we live in, I don't know what's going to happen. And there's drama all the time. You have a choice. You can absolutely choose peace. And when you choose peace, you look cool. I'm just kidding. For our analogy today, this will be peace, all right? And I was going to put these on, but it messes with the microphone, and it'll leave a little square on my forehead, so I just hold them, all right? Somebody in another service was like, I was waiting for you to put that on so I could take a picture. And I'm like, well, no Facebook pictures today. I don't know. You can absolutely choose peace, man. You can choose peace. You don't have to grit and grind through life. You don't have to have crazy, nutty stuff happen all the time. And you don't have to have poopy days all the time. You can choose peace. You can choose peace. And there's a perfect example of that in the Bible. Let me share that with you, all right? It's found in Acts chapter 16. But instead of read it to you, I'll tell you the story. Because if you read the Bible like I read the Bible, man, you will find that there are some awesome people in there. And if you take them out of being these super spiritual, enlightened, like, woo, kind of guys, and you make them real, the Bible will come alive to you. And it comes alive in this story. And I'll show you what I mean, all right? So you have Acts chapter 16. You have a man named Paul and a man named Silas, all right? And they're in this town. And they're walking through this town, and Paul and Silas are believers, man. They love Jesus, and they are telling people about Jesus, all right? So they're walking through this town, and they come across this young girl who is possessed by a demon and can tell fortunes. She's a fortune teller. So people would come, they would pay money to these two guys that ran this little girl, and she would tell you your fortune, right? So Paul and Silas are walking through, and this little girl comes behind them, and she's pointing at them. And she says, these are the prophets of the Most High God. That's the best cackling whatever voice I've got. Yeah. If it was a dude, I'd be like, these are the prophets of the Most High. Anyway, so you have this girl that's following Paul and Silas around. And it says for days, she follows them around. These are the prophets of the Most High God, over and over. These are the prophets of the Most High God. And then, again, Paul and Silas being real guys. Paul's walking, and he stops. And it says in the Bible that he was greatly annoyed. How many of you guys would be greatly annoyed after a couple of days of that? Man. He says he turns and he rebukes the demon and he casts the demon out of her because he's greatly annoyed. And so the demon leaves and this girl is set free and healthy and whole and good to go, man. Paul and Silas did a good thing by setting this girl free. The problem is there were two men that were running this little girl that were very, very upset with Paul and Silas. Because now their source of income is gone. This little girl can't tell fortunes anymore. And they're mad at Paul and Silas. So they grab Paul and Silas and they take them to the judge, and they say a bunch of lies and make up a bunch of stuff about Paul and Silas. Not unlike today. And they make up all this stuff about Paul and Silas. And so the judge says, you know what? We're gonna whip you and we're gonna throw you in jail. Paul and Silas did the right thing. They did a good thing. They didn't do anything wrong. And they find themselves in the middle portion of this jail. The judges said to the jailer, it says in your Bible, the judges told the jailer, like, make sure that they don't get out. It's your responsibility. So he put him in the very center of the jail so that they would be safe and secure. So the evening goes by, and they're in the jail. And all of a sudden, the prisoners and the jailer, man, they hear some singing, you know, through the walls. And they hear some praying. They hear some people talking. And they find that Paul and Silas are in the middle of that jail, and they are worshiping God. They're doing what we just did a few minutes ago. They're singing. They're telling God about how good he is, about how faithful he is, how much they love him and care about him. And they're in the middle of a jail. They're in the middle of a jail. So then some time passes and they keep that up. And then all of a sudden, there's this crazy earthquake. And every door in that jail was opened and every chain in that jail fell off of Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners. And if it was me in that situation, knowing that I hadn't done anything wrong and that I was wrongly in jail, I would have been out of there, man. You'd have been like, see ya, I'm gone. Yeah, and I can worship on the way, you know, like, we love Jesus, see ya, you know. But Paul and Silas, they stayed right where they were. They stayed right where they were. And I'll come back and tell you why. They stayed right where they were, and every other prisoner stayed where they were. So the jailer comes into the jail, realizing what happened, and is thinking, oh, no. Oh no, this is bad. And I'm gonna kill myself because this is so bad. And Paul and Silas say, whoa, 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 time out, stop, stop. We're all still here. Everything's cool. Don't hurt yourself. It's all good. It's all good. And so because of that, it says in your Bible that Paul and Silas later were able to share Jesus with that jailer and his family. And they gave their hearts to Christ. And they decided to become believers and followers of Jesus, and they were baptized. That's the whole story of Paul and Silas. But what I want to pull out to you is Paul and Silas, man, had a day like this, right? Or maybe had a day like this, where they didn't do anything wrong, normal average day. They're following Jesus, and things got bad for them very quickly. And they had a choice. They had a choice to decide what they're going to do with that day. So they get thrown in prison and they worship God. And you say, Toph, why did they do that? Like, if I was in prison, man, that would be the last thing that I would think of. Well, let me tell you that Paul and Silas were absolutely ruled by this right here. Peace. Peace. And it wasn't an outside circumstance peace. It was an internal rest or a settling on the inside. They went from being outside of the jail to being locked up inside of the jail. Their circumstances and outside stuff changed. But the inside of who they are didn't move at all. Didn't move at all. You could set them free and have them walk the street, or you could lock them up in chains. And the inside, the peace that resided on the inside of them, didn't shake. It didn't move. So they're able to sing and worship God in the midst of that circumstance because of peace. They chose peace in the middle of that. Doors flung open. Chains fell off. Paul and Silas didn't run because of peace. I would have ran. Paul and Silas didn't. They stayed because they were settled on the inside. They were settled on the inside. They knew that God would take care of them. They knew that God would provide a way, and they knew that they didn't have to rush and hurry for God to do what he wanted to do. God has a timing for things, and they absolutely trusted God so that when the doors flung open, they would stay open for Paul and Silas. When the chains fell off, they would stay off for Paul and Silas. There was no, oh my gosh, we got to go now. There was a settled internal rest of God is faithful, man, and I know it. They walked and they chose peace in the middle of that circumstance. And because they did, they impacted a jailer and his family for Jesus. And it can be just the same way in your life. We don't all get thrown into jail for casting demons out of little girls. At least I hope not, you know. But we have hard things that happen in our lives. We have things that can get, life can get sideways quick, man. Or decisions that we make don't always work out. Or, you know, we have different feelings and emotions that come along. But you have a choice today. You have a choice today to choose peace or to try to walk out crazy stuff. And I pray that you would choose peace. Because when you decide to choose peace in your heart, when you decide to recognize that peace comes from God and that peace lives on the inside of me and that I can choose to be settled and rest, it'll absolutely transform everything that you do and it'll transform the people around you. So look at this verse right here. You have a choice. And it talks about, with peace, it talks about in Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers. Peacemakers. So the idea being that as I'm preparing for this message this week, man, you know, in my house, I've got three young kids, Tabitha, Levi, and Luke. And I'm sitting on the couch, you know, I've got my computer up and I'm trying to read the Bible and write down some notes. And I'm just trying to figure out what does God want me to tell you guys this week, man? Like, where do we want to go with this thing? And all of a sudden, Luke is jumping over my shoulder, you know, like he's climbing over me and he wants to wrestle. And then there are Nerf guns involved. And then like the TV's on. And then, you know, it's time to eat supper or Luke's got to go to the bathroom or you know, just whatever. And in the midst of even that circumstance, I don't always choose peace, you know. I'm a peace, sometimes I choose to be a peacekeeper, but not a peacemaker, not a peacemaker. When you walk and peace resides on the inside of you, then you can literally, in any situation, make peace. You're not rattled by outside circumstances. You're not rattled by what life throws at you. You're not rattled by having a rough day. You're not moved or shaken. Because what you've done is you found the Word of God, and you've put your faith on that Word of God, and you believe it. And because you've put your faith on the Word of God, that produces in your life peace. Because now you're not anchored to how you feel. You're not anchored to what thought you have. You're anchored to, God said this, I believe it, therefore I'm rock solid and anchored to that word and I can have peace in it. You can be settled not because of the circumstance, not because of you trying to make it out alive. You can be settled because God absolutely has a word for you in the Bible about a circumstance. And when you choose to believe that, you settle yourself in peace, and you're not moved or shaken. And the idea of being a peacemaker, man, is such a cool idea because it moves just like Paul and Silas did. When you choose to walk in peace in the middle of a circumstance, in the middle of a jail like they were, and you decide that peace is where you're going to stay and you're going to be settled in that, then that begins to affect other people around you. It begins to affect those that you love, those that you come in contact with, because you now are a peacemaker. For the jailer that night, Paul and Silas were peacemakers, and it absolutely changed the jailer and his family's life forever. Forever. If Paul and Silas would have freaked out and tried to break out of the jail, you know, or climb the wall or scream and yell, that jailer wouldn't be in heaven today. But when you go to heaven, man, we'll see that guy. And he'll share a story with you about a man named Paul and a man named Silas and how his life was transformed because they chose peace in the midst of a crazy circumstance. It's the same, the exact same for you. You can choose peace. The place that I used to work at before I started working at the church, I've been on staff at the church for a couple years, but I worked at a counseling place before. And I would work with kids and their families and stuff. And these kids were usually ones that needed some extra attention, needed some extra help in life, all right? So, like, they would call me when the kid, like, beat up another kid in the hallway. It would be my kid that beat up the other kid. Like, the family would call me, like, you know, when, you know, you need to come over because we're getting evicted. Like, it was just traumatic, like, big chaotic stuff. So in the midst of those circumstances, I had to learn how to choose peace in the middle of those. Because here's the deal. I had a choice. I could either choose peace and be settled, or I could get involved in their chaos, and I could get involved in their trauma and drama, and I could decide, you know, oh my gosh, I'll get wound up with you, and let's freak out together, and, you know, you beat that kid up, I can't believe you beat that kid up, or, you know, what's going on, you don't have any food, you know, But I quickly realized that in the midst of those circumstances, I do those families no good when I get chaotic and crazy with them. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do me good. It doesn't do them good. We have toxic thoughts and toxic emotions, and we'll destroy our lives together, you know, which is not what we're after. So when you can walk into circumstances like that and decide, you know what? I'm going to stay who I am. I'm going to stay who I know God is, and I'm going to stay peaceful in the midst of this. Then when they come to me and they say, you know, oh my gosh, they're going to take my kids away. It's not, ha! It's, okay, all right, well, let's figure out what we can do, you know? Let's figure out how I can help. Because it's out of that peace that I can minister. It's out of that peace that I can help families. It's out of that peace that I can be effective to people. Now, the biggest thing that I think I can tell you here today, man, is if you have friends and family and people around you that are just chaotic and drama-filled and just cause lots of things for you to think about, I won't say problems, but can I tell you today that it is not your responsibility to fix all that? Let me tell you that one more time, man, because somebody, it's not your responsibility to fix all of that. When you get involved in other people's chaos all the time and you get chaotic at the same time, you guys aren't doing anybody any good. Yeah. But instead of doing that, instead you can get involved in their life, but you can choose peace in the middle of it. Now we're getting somewhere. Because God works through peace. God works through peace of you being peaceful on the inside. And he also works through peace by, he'll lead and guide you by the power of the Holy Spirit through peace. So the example that happened with me is I worked at that same place and they offered me a promotion. They said, hey, we would love for you to do this over here. And it's more money and it's more responsibility and it's better and you're climbing the ladder, you know, of things. And so they were not a Christian organization, which is okay. So I told them, okay, well, give me some time. I need some time to think about it. But in my heart, I'm thinking, okay, God, we need to spend some time on this. I need to pray and really figure out what I want to do. Both things, you know, is stay here, take the promotion. So my mind, the logic, the feelings and thoughts all said, well, you know, that's more money. That must be better. You know, it's more responsibility. That must be better. More influence. That must be better. But I'm not ruled by that stuff. I'm ruled by peace. What settles right in my heart? What internally gives me rest? So then I weigh those two based on that. Okay, God, which one of these is more peaceful? Because whichever one's more peaceful, that's the way I'm going. Even if it doesn't make sense. It says that peace passes all understanding. Even if in my mind I can't wrap around of why am I not doing that, you know? So I went to my boss a couple days later and I said, hey, you know, I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass. It doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't settle right. And God speaks to me and leads me through peace. Through peace. When I stay settled in myself and stay settled with what God's called me to do, there's peace. There's peace. And you can make decisions like that just like in your life too. And it doesn't have to be, you know, okay, God, which one's more peaceful? Like the double cheeseburger or the single cheeseburger, you know? It doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be that. But you can incorporate the Holy Spirit and you can incorporate peace in everything. In everything. You know, God, my kids messed up and they need some consequences. Okay, God, what do I do? What do I do? Which way is more peaceful? You know, do I give them a timeout or do we take something away? Or like, what do I need to do, God? But you do that out of a place where you're peaceful on the inside already. When you react with an emotion or a feeling, sometimes those can get sideways. Man, we've talked about that this series. Sometimes we don't have sweet emotions, you know? But when we choose to have sweet emotions and we choose to walk in a place of peace, man, we begin to change who we are on the inside and we absolutely begin to change people around us on the outside. People will be drawn to you because you don't respond the way that they think you should respond to things. People will be drawn to you when they call you with bad news and you don't flip out like they do. People will be drawn to you when they're having to grit their teeth and make it through life and life is hard, but yet you choose to walk in peace in the middle of that. That's attractive to people. It's attractive to the world because the only way the world can find peace is to go and do something. Go on vacation. Go drink this. Go take this pill. Go get everybody out of the house and it's just quiet. But we as believers, man, we have peace living on the inside of us. And whether that's me going to work, I can still go on vacation, you know, I can still do whatever, but I bring peace with me. I don't go chase it down. It lives deep down on the inside of me because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. So I challenge you, man, this week in your thinking to choose peace and then to choose to become a peacemaker. Become the person at your work that people want to share their stuff with. Become the person at work that people want, I got this going on, man. Can you pray for me, you know? If you get wound up like they do, they don't need your help. Become the person in your family that says, okay, this is we're going to work through this. But at the same time, we're going to stay peaceful. We're going to find where God's at in this. And wherever peace is, man, that's where we're following. And then when peace moves over here, we'll follow that too. Become that person. Become a peacemaker to your family. Become a peacemaker to your coworkers. Become a peacemaker to just the neighbors that you have, the people that you encounter. And you will see God do big things not only in your life, you'll see God do big things in their life as well. Just like Paul and Silas, transform the life of that jailer. You have the opportunity to transform the lives of the people around you by having sweet emotions and by choosing peace. So bow your heads this morning, let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here today, Lord. God, I thank you that because they're here, Lord, that tells me, God, that they're all about you. And God, I pray this week, Father, this month, God, in the coming years, Lord, that we would choose to walk in peace. God, with an election coming up, Lord, we choose to walk in peace. God, with a crazy society and culture, we choose to walk in peace. We choose not to get outside of ourselves, but Father, in who you've made us to be, we choose peace. And we choose to be peacemakers. God, I pray that you would give us the opportunity to make peace, Father, in our families. God, to make peace, Father, in our jobs. God, to make peace, Father, with our spouses and our kids, Father. To make peace, Lord, in everybody that we encounter. God, I thank you for doing big things in our lives. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, lift up a clap offering to the Lord this morning.